Hello and welcome to The Plotting Shed. You're listening to Rachel McCarty, founder of plantplots.com and author of the book I Want to Like My Garden. Each week, The Plotting Shed discusses different aspects of garden design, but we focus on things that other books don't really talk about. I hope you enjoy this podcast, and do please hit the subscribe now button so you don't miss another episode. Well, hello and welcome to the penultimate episode of The Plotting Shed for this autumn series. I hope you are all well. I do apologise if my voice sounds a little bit gravelly and hoarse this week. I think just like about everybody else on the planet, I've come down with one of these horrific colds. I'm sitting here with my honey and lemon and grated ginger tea to try and see if I can ensure that my vocal cords survive the recording. So, I'm afraid today also I am without my trusty sidekick, Helen, who is busy treating patients at the moment. So, this recording is just me, I'm afraid. You will have to put up with me this week. So, what did we get up to and what did we want to talk about this week? Well, on my birthday, I have to say, last week, I went up to a trade show at the NEC in Birmingham called the Landscapers Show, which show I've been meaning to go to for 2 or 3 years. So we decided that we were going to go this year because I thought all the things that we have spoken about and I've spoken about in the podcasts over the last year and previous episodes about our emphasis has always been to try and help you make better decisions about your gardens, to make gardening seem easier, to find ways to demystify how the gardening and horticultural world portrays itself so that you can make the changes to the garden that will really work and will add to your life and make you feel happy, because ultimately that's what we want. Gardens are great places to relax and be happy. So I thought this week, if we went to the Landscapers Show, we would see if there were some really good new products out there and see if there's anything there that's really worthwhile. There were some really interesting things that we sat and listened to, and a couple of things I hadn't really been aware of. One of the first things that we bumped into was a guy who was doing a talk about an artificial lighting. If you go back to one of the podcasts I did a couple of years ago, and it was a little bit sort of tongue-in-cheek, but it said trees need their sleep. And I've always known, and I was reading some research a couple of years ago, that trees are now known to go to sleep at night. What they do is they droop a little bit. Their branches have become a little bit less stiff, and the whole tree relaxes when the sun goes down. Along with this underground internet of fungal messaging that runs between trees in forests and everything else, they communicate by this underground network. So there is this massive system that we are just learning about how trees operate. But in terms of light, what this gentleman was saying was that on the basis that trees go to sleep, when I go to bed, my garden lighting switches off. But I didn't realise actually how important it is. Some trees are more sensitive to light stimulation than others. And the argument goes like this, that if you have a light on a tree and it's a continuous light, especially in the visible red and infrared spectrum, the tree is constantly bathed in light, so it still feels it has to keep growing. And what they've discovered is that trees that are artificially lit at night tend to have larger leaves. They also tend to hold on to those leaves for longer before dropping them in the winter. Now, that might not seem a problem, other than the tree is being stimulated to produce more than it would naturally do. It's also being stimulated to feed and keep those leaves well watered longer than it would naturally do. And the leaves are bigger, so it's got to produce, suck up more water than it would normally need. All of which puts the tree under a slightly stressed environment. And we all know that if we get stressed, you're more susceptible to diseases and pestilence and everything else because they're not getting enough nighttime rest. And some trees are more vulnerable to this sort of light pollution than others. Now, you might think, well, it really doesn't matter that much because I've only got a little spotlight. And you're absolutely right, it doesn't. But collectively, we do make quite a bit of difference. The sky glow, which is this term that they use for the ambient artificial night, sort of fog of nightlight that we get in cities, affects all of the trees. So they just don't grow as well and they will die more quickly. But they also discovered, and this was research from Purdue University, and I was reading this research paper this morning, that younger trees are far more susceptible to this abnormal lighting and it affects their growth patterns much more than mature trees. Just consider maybe where those lights are shining. And if they are shining, just make sure that they turn off so that the trees have a chance to go to sleep. And maybe don't uplight the brand new tree that you've just purchased, because that will, just like a child, if we keep them up too long, they get a bit crotchety and a bit grumpy and they might not grow and thrive as well as we want them to. So that was just, it was just a really interesting lecture that he gave, and it was just something I hadn't considered as to how much the artificial light could affect the tree growth. But also he was saying about the light frequency as well. Now we all know that if you know, in the restaurants they have those ultraviolet blue lights because that attracts all the flies and things. But if we have a lot of really bright white blue spectrum lights in the garden as well, that disrupts the night vision and the flying patterns and the flying paths of bats and moths and other night flying insects. So simple little changes that won't really affect our enjoyment of our gardens can have quite a big effect on how the small little ecosystems of our gardens work. But it was just an interesting thought process, which I certainly will be thinking about with my garden. So what were the really interesting products and stalls that we found on our day out on my birth? I do know how to party, isn't it? There you go, going out to a trade show on my birthday for a 7-hour round trip in a car. But never mind, it was a really worthwhile trip. There were a couple of things that really sparked our interest and enthusiasm. I thought, cool, that's really cool. I would love to have one of those in my garden if we could. And I'll put some pictures on the post associated with this podcast. So if you click on the links at the bottom of the podcast, you'll see what the images are. One of my favourite stalls was from a company called Acoustic Arts. Now, when you see the pictures, you'll see that it is geared towards a more commercial landscaping aspect and for schools and playgrounds and things. But I thought, wouldn't it be cool if they made a consumer-sized version of one of these? And essentially, you know, the tubular bells that you used to play at school, or glockenspiels or what have you, but they were making installations out of recycled scaffolding poles, and they were using old square piping, and they had then tuned it. So there would be this sort of spiral of an ammonite that they'd created using steel, and you could play the bars and play a tune. And I thought to myself, that would be so cool if you had a gate or you had a fence panel in the garden that you could just go down and just tap out a tune. It might be quite nice, but it would be a good way of getting the kids in the garden rather than away from the screens, wouldn't it? So have a look at that, Acoustic Arts. I thought, if you ever see them as a coming up as a consumer product, it was wonderful. In terms of useful products for small spaces, a couple of weeks ago, Helen and I did a podcast called Up the Wall Gardening. And if you remember from back at the RHS Chelsea Flower Show, there was also a section at the Flower Show on balcony gardening and how they would put these together. Space is tight, and some of the modular vertical growing systems that are out there are brilliant, but you really need to have professional irrigation systems with them. They're geared up for the commercial sector. And then when you go to garden centre, you find these hanging fabric pocket pouches, and people try and make gardens out of those, and they're okay, but they're not easy to keep looking lush and well maintained, and the plants growing really, really well. And I've been looking for a long time to find an alternative to a green living wall that was actually robust and easy to fit and could be done by anybody and would last and the plants would thrive and grow. And there is one out there now, which I have seen. Well, it's probably been out there for a while. I just haven't found it. So this, I was thought, was quite good. A company, Platypus Landscape Solutions. This is called G-Wall. It's a modular system that will allow even the most inexperienced gardener to transform bare boundaries or spaces into vibrant, colourful living walls. It is made of plastic and it's made of virgin plastic, but it is fully recyclable. Having said that, it's designed to be robust for 25 years, but you buy them in squares. And you can then attach them together so you can build all sorts of grid shapes or rectangles or vertical rectangles. And these then can be attached to the wall. I just thought that this system was really, really clever because it was easy to fix. It was modular. It wasn't ridiculously expensive. You could add a little drip feed irrigation system to it quite easily as well. By the way, I would just say as an add-on, I don't have any link-ups or sponsorships with any of these companies. This is just purely because I've seen it and I thought that would work and I like it, so I thought I'd tell you about it. Another interesting product, well, there were three that really sort of caught our eye. The government have just started talking about ground source heat pumps and everybody changing and converting our boiler systems to ground source heat pumps, but at some point we're all going to lose our gas boilers. And this was a really good partial or solution, because one of the things that about landscaping and redesigning and redoing the garden is that there is a tendency to dig up the old and replace it with something completely new. But what this does is it adds to an existing driveway or a patio. This is resin bonded gravel. Now you might think, oh, that doesn't sound very nice, but some of the gravel was really small. And I said to the guy, I said, oh, well, I'm not sure I'd like to walk on this bare feet. He said, it's really nice to walk on bare feet because it's slightly abrasive, it's slightly rough, but not too rough. But he said it really is slightly massagey on the feet. It's a really nice surface to walk on. They use them for around pools as non-slip surfaces and this sort of thing. But the clever bit was this. This resin bonded gravel is poured over an existing driveway or an existing patio or whatever, as long as that's a fairly stable surface. And then they've developed a heat pump system that then sits on that layer of gravel, and another layer of resin bonded gravel is put on top, which that then clips into your heat pump or whatever it is that you're fitting to the house. So your driveway or your patio then becomes the source of the ground source heat pump in the summertime, but also in the wintertime you can reverse it and stop the paving from freezing or the driveway from becoming slippy because the hot water melts it. And I just thought, rather than this dig up and chuck away, this just is a really clever way of adding to things. We're all going to have to convert to this kind of thing anyway with these heat pumps. And this was a company called Adagrip. So I'll put the link on there. But it was Adagrip Eco Heat Surfacing. I just thought it was really quite clever and might be a very sensible solution for some people. In addition to that, there was another company called Greenfix. One of the problems that we're going to face with much heavier rainfall is water runoff and flash flooding and surface water runoff, especially in urban areas. Monty Don was talking about it at the RHS Chelsea Flower Show, was that driveways and paving, if we can just lift one or two paving slabs up and put some plants in that place, then we can reduce the amount and the speed of surface water runoff. This company had these park paving mesh systems. And I thought, well, that's really cool, because now you could lift up an old paving slab and insert one of these, which you could then fill with with some gravel or some low-growing planting, and you can automatically improve your drainage and the porous nature of your drive. But simply by lifting up some paving, or even where the patio is, if you've got your paver, you could lift one and introduce some of these little modular systems and fill them with gravel and alpines, and they would be really pretty. So I just thought that was very clever. They also had weed suppression membranes. In my book that I wrote a couple of years ago called I Want to Like My Garden, I was talking about weed suppressing membranes and should people have them. And they are a benefit, but then they can become the problem, because no matter what you do, you will get detritus on top of the membrane, and that will then spawn seeds and you will get weeds, and they will start to grow through, the roots will start to grow through the membrane, and then all of a sudden you get the membrane which is stuck to the ground, and it's a real pig to pull this plastic membrane out of the ground, because you can't weed properly without the weeding problem. And they have got something, and it's a coir mesh, so it's made of that sort of coconut matting, but then it's bonded onto a biodegradable plastic, and you can put that on the surface to cut out the weeds, cut through that, and gradually over a couple of years this membrane will degrade into the soil. It's given the plants time to establish themselves, but it wasn't an ugly looking black plastic thing that you have to cover either. It's just a coir matting, so it looked quite attractive, a bit like Hessian. So I thought that was really, really good as well. And I'll put the link to that website on the show notes for you as well. But that was a company called Greenfix. And I just thought those were three really simple, sensible solutions to some of the issues that we've all got to face, but in a way that will still help you garden in an easier fashion. This is not about making it more complicated or expensive. It's just making the garden better. Now, the last thing, next year there is the Great British Garden Festival. The whole idea is that you pay a £10 fee to join the Great British Garden Festival family, as it were. And they are going around getting lots of venues and companies and nurseries and suppliers of garden equipment and all sorts to get on board. And if you are part of and paid your membership fee, then you will receive exclusive discounts for products and services around the country. It might be entries to some gardens or all sorts of things. So I'll put that link on for you, but that's the greatbritishgardenfestival.co.uk, and that's running for the whole of 2022, so from January to December. So have a quick look at that one. Just before I sign off today, I hope the series that we've done, I know it wasn't as much on garden design, concrete tips and hints and what you do if you've got this and what you don't do if you've got that, but what we were trying to do is to get you just to take a pace back and start to the thought process that little bit further back about what and why and how. Gardens don't have to be perfect and pristine and ordered and structured and had thousands of pounds spending on them. They can be beautiful, lovely places with a much lighter touch. And we wanted you to feel good and confident and happy that lighter approach works, because it will work, and it will work for you, and it will work for your plants, and it will work for the little micro environments that you have in your garden. Bye for now. Well, thank you for listening. You have been listening to Rachel McCartney of The Plotting Shed. If you've got any questions about this podcast, please email me, rachel@plantplots.com, or you visit the website. We've loads of different information on garden design and gardening advice, along with planting plans that you can download. You can look at the designs that we've created. So do take a look, and please do hit the subscribe now button so you don't miss another episode. You can also donate if you go onto the website plantplots.com. There's a little button there saying you can buy me a coffee. So all donations will be hugely appreciated. Thank you very much. Enjoy your week, enjoy your garden, take care and stay well.